Artie, we are back. This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and I'm with Zach from the Organic Consumers Association. And we have been talking about the foundational pieces of the organics, non-GMO world. But he's been kind enough to go a little longer today, and we were going to now take this segment and go into some of the current events that are happening around the United States and around the world. And so, Zach, thank you very much for coming back for one more quick segment here.
You're welcome. Glad to do it.
Cool. All right, so let's move off because I want to get to, we were just talking about over the break, some amazing things that are happening in the world. So you now have the floor for the next 10 or 15 minutes to kind of go through what you think are the top 5, 6, 7 things that are related to this specific subject of GMOs and organic food.
Well, let's start maybe by debunking a couple of the really popular myths that have been jammed into our head and banged into our head for the last 20 years in this country in particular, but around the world now too. And let's start with genetically modified crops reduce pesticides and herbicides. That's how they were sold 20 years ago. It convinced a lot of people of good heart to think that this was maybe going to be a solution to the toxic pesticide that we have always had to spray on our crops. But, of course, the opposite has come true. In fact, in the last 13 years, pesticides and herbicides have increased by 500 million pounds, and that's because, on genetically modified crops they have, and that's because nature has a way of adapting. I don't know why this surprises people anymore, but when Monsanto comes in with this pesticides and herbicides, they're supposed to kill everything except the seed that's designed to resist it. Well, guess what happens? The bugs that it used to kill start to become resistant. The weeds that the herbicides are supposed to kill start to become resistant. And now what's happened? Well, of half of all of America's cropland, that are genetically modified, which is about 150 million acres, now have an infestation of superworms and superweeds. Some of these superweeds are so strong they actually break farming machinery when they try to cut them. So what is the solution? Well, take a guess. Monsanto's solution is we need a stronger, more powerful, more toxic pesticides and herbicides to kill these new breeds of animals and weeds. And what's the key ingredient of this new Super Roundup? Well, it's a chemical called 2,4-D that is also a component of Agent Orange, which Monsanto also created. So when you hear people talk about reducing pesticides and herbicides, it's the opposite of the case. And in fact, what we're in the midst of now, pesticide arms race, with companies like Monsanto and DuPont leading the way off this cliff. But it's not just that it's creating new breeds of superbugs and weeds. It's also endangering critically important species that are dying off because of these pesticides and herbicides. For instance, the honeybee is down 70% last year because of this colony collapse disorder due to a variety of the chemicals that Monsanto creates. And a lot of people don't understand. One out of every three bites of food that we take are thanks to the honeybee and its pollinating. In fact, you know, there's a quote from Einstein, and God, I hope he's wrong, which is not something I feel good about saying, but he basically said, when the honeybees die, human beings have 4 years to live. So we really got to understand what we're doing to nature itself. Same thing with the butterfly. Monarch butterflies are dying off. Birds. Frogs. So, from the environmental perspective, it's the opposite of that big lie that we've been told. Now, from the other big lie, which again is trying to appeal to the good heart of human beings, is, but GMOs will feed the world because it'll allow us to grow more food than we've ever been able to grow before. Not true. In fact, two major studies in just the last 4 or 5 years, one in 2009 by the Union of Concerned Scientists called Failure to Yield. The other one this year from the University of Canterbury in New Zealand proved without a doubt that over time, in the long run, conventional and organic farming methods, using some of the new technologies, outdo and outyield and outperform genetically modified crops. But it goes deeper than that, because what genetically modified crops do is they destroy the natural biodiversity. And so what do I mean by that? Well, if you're going to plant thousands and thousands and thousands of acres of genetically modified corn all season long, you're wiping out all the different crops that would naturally grow there, the different variations, the variations that farmers have understood for thousands of years that you need to grow depending on the climate, depending on the season. And what GMOs do is they wipe out also the soil's natural ability to sequester carbon. It also increases the problems of drought and flooding because it destroys all the natural organic material in the soil that makes it dense enough to hold the water. So it's not increasing yield, therefore it's not going to help feed the hungry. It's also not going to help feed the hungry because, you know what, 70% of the GMO corn right now goes to ethanol and feeding factory farms. It's not even going to people. So there's all kinds of levels of fallacy in this argument that they're trying to feed the hungry. In fact, what they're doing is distracting from the real causes of hunger: poverty, lack of access to food, to water, and to farmable land. So the solutions to hunger are economic and political. And in fact, the UN and World Health Organization said explicitly the most important factor in addressing world hunger going forward is biodiversity and protecting biodiversity, which is exactly what GMO crops destroy. So those are two giant lies we've been told that everybody has to understand are untrue. And in terms of things I think that are happening here in the United States, because there are positive things too, so let's go to the positive. Washington State is a week away from voting on a labeling initiative, which would label foods that have been genetically modified, just like California almost did last year. It's up by about 6 points right now with a week to go, so you know anything anybody can do to help that campaign. Probably the single best thing anybody could do right now is phone bank, because our record, the studies have shown, this is the same thing with Prop 37 in California, if people just talk to somebody on the phone for a few minutes, they switch. They realize, oh yeah, of course I'm going to vote for this. My God, you know, it's so self obvious. So there's the Washington campaign is very hopeful. It's also hopeful that 25 different states since Prop 37 in California are pursuing labeling initiatives in the United States right now, and two states, Connecticut and Maine, actually passed them this last year, but they're dependent on a few other states to pass theirs before they go into action. But the point is that Prop 37's defeat actually ignited the fire. It didn't put one out. And this is all very important. And then you see around the world some movement against these giant corporations that are really trying to monopolize the world's food system. And that's in Mexico has just banned GMO corn for good, the growth of it completely. Argentina, while this isn't something to celebrate, it's very sad, but if you look up in the news and find out what Monsanto's Roundup herbicide, and particularly the key ingredient glyphosate, is doing to the people of Argentina, I mean, some of the pictures you can't even look at. But there is no question that their adoption of that pesticide and their overuse of it is causing massive outbreaks of cancer. And I think this is opening a lot of people's eyes around the world. And, you know, here in California, Los Angeles is in talks right now about banning GMOs from Los Angeles County, just as, in fact, a couple other counties here in California have done. So, you know, with the bad news, there is good news. There is a growing awareness that we've been sold a bill of goods by the same companies that have been lying to us for 50, 60 years. That have a long history of deceiving the public, polluting the environment, and endangering our health. And now they're doing it again. But if enough people become aware, we're seeing around the world pockets of resistance.
And where can people go to sort of get the information they need to be organized, you know, rather than just start running around thinking that you're doing something when you're really just a lone wolf?
Well, I mean, the first thing I would ask is people to sign up for our weekly Bites newsletter, which you can do on our website at the top right corner. I mean, it lays out all these issues every week. Not just actions to take, but some of the best news studies and articles. And, you know, there are other groups, too, that do this kind of work. So, you know, there's Center for Food Safety, and there's Food and Water Watch, and there's Food Democracy Now. So between all of us, there is a lot of this information out there for you to get a hold of, and very specific actions you can take. Because, you know, moving forward, aside from just the United States, you know, the big plan for these giant seed companies, whether it's Monsanto or DuPont or Syngenta, is they really do want, and it sounds conspiratorial, but, you know, this to me, it's just a Monday, because this is what it is every day. These are a few handfuls of corporations that desperately want, that's why they patent everything, to get a foothold on our food system, to control it, to own it, and to put all farmers basically into a position of permanent servitude. Because they have a patent on the seed, farmers cannot save the seeds that they buy from Monsanto. They have to destroy them each year, and then they have to repurchase those seeds and Monsanto's herbicides that are made to spray on them. So when those costs of the spray and the cost of the seed skyrocket, farmers are in deep, deep trouble. And in fact, when Monsanto 10 years ago was able to convince India and India farmers to go Monsanto in terms of their cotton, it has created since then what they call the suicide belt in India. And that's around 250,000 Indian small farmers have committed suicide, many of them using Monsanto's herbicide to do it as a political statement. And the reason is, goes back to all the things I've just said, they promised these farmers higher yields, which didn't happen. They promised these farmers more profits, which that, of course, didn't happen. They never told the farmers that they could never save the seed. They didn't tell the farmers that it would take twice as much water to water these kinds of crops, nor did they ever tell the farmers that it would destroy the biodiversity and these crops are not natural to that area. So you put all those things together and you realize this is not the way, you know, we do not want to pursue a genetically modified food future. We need to start transitioning towards a sustainable organic one.
Unbelievable. Well, we would love to have you back in the near future, because I really do feel that we've just touched the iceberg. You know, even to talk about the aspect of, you know, in America, we're going to give the food for the hungry, you know, and we're going to go do these for these guys in Africa, and they market that to us perpetually. And then you get down there and you realize that we're going to send them potatoes, we're going to send them carrots, we're going to send them this. And then it's all just a big powder, and there ain't no carrots on the on the package. It talks about what's in there, and it's got more longer names than I could even read. And it's just an amazing.
And if we convince them to use Monsanto's genetically modified seeds, they're locked in. I mean, you know, just one other thing about these seeds is once you plant genetically modified seeds and spray that herbicide on them, not only can that then go through the air and contaminate other people's fields that don't want anything to do with genetically modified crops, which also spread, it's like a virus, you know. We're also talking about that. This is spreading like a virus to people that don't even want to buy these seeds. But also, it can take years once you've gone GMO to go back. So that's the other real danger here, is if this continues to spread, it's going to be very difficult to go back. I mean, the bottom line is you cannot have organic farming simultaneously exist with genetically modified farming, not even near each other. And so at some point, it's really going to have to become a choice. Do we want a world owned by Monsanto that's been genetically modified, and we're constantly fighting nature with more and more, more and more toxic pesticides to beat back all the various resistant weeds and bugs that nature is creating? Or do we want to go, you know what, we kind of understood this pretty good for the last 10,000 years. Let's go back to sustainable agriculture, organic farming, where you work with the earth, not against it.
Done. Thank you very much, Zach, for taking the time today.
Hey, thank you. Good talk.